And I isolated a few teachings in the, of the Bhagavatam, and we gave workshops, and in the evening did Gaura Lila narrations. And one of these Gaura Lila evenings is I want to give today here. I think it will be very inspiring for you. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So then I also, please excuse me, I'm just preparing everything. Yeah, it goes like this. It's a little difficult. I guess I need another harmonium. Maybe just here next to.
Yes.
One moment, we are almost ready. Oh, thank you so much. Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaya Advaita Chandra
Jaya Advaita
Gaura Bhakta Vrinda He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Uvesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama Very often we are asking ourselves what are the essential principles in Krishna consciousness which should be there in my life so that I'm coming that I'm victorious over the influence of material life. I think by now we have experienced some devotees are on the ultra left part in their life. They do not really practice Krishna consciousness the way they did when they lived in temples. Other devotees are maybe on another totally different in a totally different consciousness. They live in the temple and they may look down upon the devotees who live outside of the temple. For a long time this was a problem in our community, that people were building fractions and there was no harmony. I think some of us have also stopped a regular practice because we are getting tired of this, let me say, discussion. But today I would like to encourage all of us, either we are living in the temples or we are living outside the temples, to look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions how to practice Krishna consciousness. You will see that in these instructions are three essential principles which should be there. And these essential principles should be followed if you want to have the result of Krishna consciousness, a life of bliss and a life of association with Krishna. They should be followed no matter on which side of the argument you are. If you are a freestyler or a very strict follower, you do need to know what are the eternal principles, and then you need to see that you can make them work in your life. It's a very interesting to see these principles, which would affect an inner transformation to in everyone's life, no matter where he or she is, if they were prepared to follow them. The whole idea of any spiritual culture is this inner transformation. Spiritual life is successful if you experience a change of heart, if you are different after some time. And the spiritual life is missing the point when you remain the same, although your externals may have changed. You may have tilak and you may have a Vaishnav dress and so on, a devotee dress. But if your heart is not changed, then you have missed still the point and you need to find it. So today I would love to introduce this point of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I'm hoping that anyone who hears this lecture will be inspired enough to, yes, practice the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to attain this inner transformation. If you are an old devotee, if you are a young devotee, if you are coming really to see what is Krishna consciousness, these essential principles remain the same. It may be that your application of them may change over the years, but the principles need to be there, just like it is a principle that we need to have nourishing foodstuffs and good sleep in order to be healthy. But it may be different that when we, it may be that we, when we are young, we eat a lot of heavy preparations, and when we are no longer young, when we are old, we only eat Hari Seva Prasadam, very healthy and gluten-free and and so on. But the principle has remained the same. Nourishing food, although the detail and how we apply this principle is changing. So today I would like to introduce these powerful principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I hope that wherever you are, starting on your spiritual path, being a super, super strict follower, like I try to be one, or being a very creative follower of Krishna consciousness, where you see how it applies in your life, because you may be in the Grihastha ashram and new situations you have to adopt have arisen. Whatever, wherever you are, if you can, so to say, imbibe these three principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will see a miraculous change in the life. You will experience love in your heart, love of Godhead. Good, this is a little bit the introduction. Now I will enter what we call Gaura Leela. We have two very, very famous guests in the world of men today, so I need to tell you. This Gaura Leela is, we talk about an avatar, or incarnation of Krishna, his example and his teachings, and we try to become inspired by it. I hope you will get also something out of it for your spiritual life. Hare Krishna. So, it is said that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared at the bank of the Ganges in Navadvip, he did not manifest his transcendental energies fully. He behaved more or less like one of the learned scholars of that town, Navadvip. There were many, many scholars. He behaved like one of them. But later, when he left Navadvip and became a world renouncer, a hermit, a sannyasi, he started to manifest extraordinary energies, and there were many miracles which he performed, which included to bring dead people back to life, which included that he would dance and all of a sudden expand his own form in seven other forms which would dance. He would appear at places and disappear at other places. Manifested extraordinary strengths. He changed his form. There were all the miracles and more which he performed. But his greatest miracle was displayed when he walked for 6 years through South India. His miracle could be described in two words: electrical bhakti. That means anyone who came in contact with him, who saw him, or who was embraced by him, became instantaneously, at the spot, transformed and developed the highest, highest level of divine ecstasy, which is reserved maybe to a few yogis normally, or a few very, very special people. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured India, said he liberated all people. He would walk with his assistant, one assistant who would carry his water pot and a set of cloth to change. He would walk and he would sing this song. It is revealed. Krishna, 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 Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Rakshama.
Krishna, 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 Rakshama.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Raghava, Rama Raghava, Raghava,
Rama Raghava, Raghava, Rama Raghava,
Krishna Ketava, Krishna Ketava, Krishna Ketava, Vahe
Krishna Ketava, Krishna Ketava, Krishna Ketava, Vahe Krishna.
When people saw him walking on the street and dancing, they would really leave everything which they were doing, like cultivating the fields, irrigating their rice. They would leave all this and stream towards him and look at him. He was very tall, 2 meters and 10. He had a golden complexion. But what was more special than his size and the unusual effulgence was that anyone who came in contact with him felt a love in their heart emerging, which they had never felt before. It was not the love which we know in this world between human beings. It included that love. It was an overwhelming love which would transform the mind. People became very forgiving. They became very tolerant. They were not inclined to waste their time with material activities any longer, but instead used their tongues and their voices in constantly chanting the holy name. It was a real transformation of identity and of habits and so on. And it was for this that he became known as the avatar of love of God, the divine manifestation of the Lord, who would live that love and spread that love. Now his program, there are still villages, I wanted to say, remote villages in forests where people chant. I just recently saw a documentary of National Geography of a rare tribe of people who were investigating. They sat in the evening there and they chanted Hare Krishna and Sri Krishna Chaitanya. The National Geography did not take note of that. They were just, I think it was a tribe which originally had come from Africa, which settled in India, something like this. But long, long ago. But I noticed, my God, these people must have met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that they are now, up till the present day, maintaining the chanting of his name and so on. So this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had an influence on people which changed their life. Now, he had a fixed program. When he came and arrived at a village, he would first go into the temple and he would dance before the deity and chant. It was so extraordinary that the whole village or town was notified by the people, and then everyone came into the temple. And it's amazing. He didn't just visit Krishna temples or Ram temples. He visited Shiva temples, and he would always gather a huge crowd around himself and encourage them to join the chanting of the Lord's holy name. Then he would either stay in the temple if there were facilities to spend the night, but mostly there were simple temples and there was no guest facility or no guest rooms. So then he would be invited by local brahmanas who would invite him to come home and stay and accept a meal and then stay overnight. And then he would get up the next morning very early, just before sunrise, and start his next day. Again, the same program. He would chant and dance on the street until he came to a place where he would stay in the night. And sometimes he would not find a place. He would stay under the trees in the jungle next to wild animals. We have even descriptions in Chaitanya Charitamrita when Lord Chaitanya went through the forest of Jarikandra. He saw a herd of wild elephants who were stampeding through the forest and went into a river to refresh themselves and from their panic. And then Lord Chaitanya would go amidst these wild elephants, sprinkle them with the water of the river, and shout joyously, "Chant Hare Krishna!" And the elephant bulls and their cows and the small children would somehow, you know, how do you say this? They're the covering above the soul, which made them act like elephants, was pierced through. And Mahaprabhu reached right to the soul and awakened the soul in blissful Krishna consciousness. So they actually danced and chanted. I don't know how the Hare Krishna mantra will hear, will listen through the trumpet, what is it called, the trunk of an elephant. It must be quite ecstatic. But this is how the scriptures describe his influence. So on this day, which I think is very important for us, because something happened there. Lord Chaitanya arrived again in the temple. It was a temple of the Koma incarnation of Krishna. And a Brahmana, a highly posted Brahmana, who is referred to as the Koma Brahmana, I guess he was a priest in the temple. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had danced, he invited him humbly, "Please come to my home and take your meals there." Now the Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who made the final biography of Chaitanya, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, says that he had described previously Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanderings through South India, but now he will describe elaborately what Lord Chaitanya did, how he behaved, what he instructed in, when he was the guest of the Koma Brahmana. And he says, by studying this exchange between the Koma Brahmana and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can know the dealings of the Lord in all other places on his tour of South India. So this was a little bit what happened. I've written it down here. After the Koma Brahmana had brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home and showed him the way through the alleys of the door, he first welcomed the Lord by washing his feet. That is done traditionally to a saint. When he has walked for a long time, you welcome him and you wash his feet. Then the Koma Brahmana drank this Charanamrita with great faith, because he hoped that by ingesting or drinking the water which had touched this most saintly person, that he would also become a little bit purified and cleansed and so on. Then he sprinkled the water to those people who were outside his home. They all went like, "Here on my head, little water." Then he offered him foodstuffs. I can imagine that the Koma Brahmana had seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he arrived and followed him into the temple, and when he saw the Lord manifesting these divine ecstasies in his chanting and dancing, he must have sent someone home and told his wife, "We are receiving today a very special guest. Please cook a nice wholesome meal for him." So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to the home and the formalities of the foot washing ceremony were over, then there was immediately the food ready and it was offered by the Koma Brahmana. "Please, my lord," he said, "I can't believe my good fortune today. Your lotus feet are looked after by the creator of this universe, Lord Brahma. Shiva worships the water which has washed those lotus feet. These very same feet which are worshipped by Brahma and Shiva and the whole universe have come today into my house. This, by the way, is a very usual way of greeting someone. When I would greet, for instance, let us say, Kunya Bihari, I would say in traditional Indian language, where have your lotus feet come from at the moment? And you would say, from Berlin. You know? So this was a way of speaking. It meant a very, very great amount of respect when I asked like this. Imagine I ask Kalakanta, where have your lotus feet come from? That means so much respect. I don't think even a husband would offer the same amount of respect to his wife. But this was the idea. Great respect, great love, and so on. You know? And it was expressed at that time. Nowadays it may be expressed in offering flowers or nice words, so on. Not in the same way. Hmm? So, then he said he expressed his heart's desire. I think it is a desire which all of us at times feel. If you remember the last time in your life where your heart was really touched, maybe 25 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe last week. But I'm speaking of something extraordinary. Then, in that being so touched in your heart, you don't wish to go back to your ordinary life. Many devotees have reported this when they visited Vrindavan. And the last day in Vrindavan comes. And then they know the next day I will have to take a taxi to the material world called Delhi. And then I have to enter an airplane. And then I come to cold Berlin. And from there I go into the fog of Neuruppin. then if your heart was really touched, and you're not like someone who thinks, oh, finally I'll go back to Neuruppin and have German bread and butter. But if your heart was really touched, then you dread this moment. Dread heißt, du fürchtest dich vor diesem Augenblick. So the Koma Brahmana must have had his heart touched in a similar way. And he said, my Lord, please allow me to leave my household life. So much anxieties always, so much miseries. I can't tolerate these miseries of material existence. I want to come with you. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reacted very strongly, and you will be surprised until you understand why he reacted so strongly. He said, never say this again. Up to that moment, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been absorbed in deep internal ecstasy. It's not that he had not noticed everything, but now he spoke out, never say this again. I do not ever wish to hear this statement again from your mouth. Instead, you should better remain at home and chant. Then instruct everyone to follow the guidelines of Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And in fact, become a spiritual teacher and try to liberate everyone in your environment. Try to do something good. Why did the Lord not encourage people to follow him, to leave their compromised lives behind? Why was he even so strong and determined and said, never say this ignorant things again? My dear devotees, there is a deep secret in this. It is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami that if you follow a path which is not suitable for you, just because you want to be appear externally renounced, you will fail in your spiritual life. The best way to live in this world is in a lifestyle which is philosophically called yukta vairagya. That means you accept the world and the things of this world in a certain spirit. That spirit in which you accept it is different from a materialist who wants to just enjoy the world through his senses and with his more or less selfish or self-centered motivations. No, that is not the idea of accepting things of the world in a wise way. You accept them in a wise way when you accept those things which are favorable or supportive in your spiritual growth. And this may be different for a grihastha or a renunciant or from individual to individual. In other words, what say a devotee called, I give now a fictitious name, Baladev Ratnabhushan does, it may be different than my application of this. Everyone has to find out himself how to sail his little boat, how to use the wind of knowledge to move forward, and he has to steer his own little boat. But steering should be done. If one is just living impulsively as a servant of his mind and the senses, one will stay on the platform of the mind and senses and not be able to progress further to the self, to the actual self which is existing independent of the mind and the senses. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is best for you. You stay where you are. If you would follow my path and live under the trees and drink for your water, the water of the streams, if you would have every day another place to sleep, it would be harmful for your spiritual development. And you might even come to a quick end of your path. No, you might give it up after some time. So he gave three instructions, and these three instructions are equal to wherever you are posted. Remember how I introduced it? We may be in different life situations, but these are principles. They are the same for everyone. How they will be applied, the principles, is individual. But here it is. He says, chant the names of the Lord, the divine names. He has spoken in more detail how to do this, but here is a principle. Chant. Fill your heart and your mouth again and again with the nectar of the divine name. By the way, what he has instructed on this is something which I become more and more aware of in my own practice. I have seen in my life that when I chant the holy name just like this, I quickly lose my focus and concentration. But if I make an effort to keep my attention on the holy name, then after some time, it depends how much impressions are at the moment in my mind, but after some time I break always through the material level and I come into the sacred space where I feel very close to my Lord. No? But this effort of attention must be made for success in chanting. It is again and again bring the mind back wherever it has run due to its restless nature and focuses on the name. Then the name is almost like whoop, there's a breakthrough into this sacred spiritual space and so on. Then he said the next instruction is you should read the words of Lord Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful story of Krishna and his devotees. That's really the Bhagavatam. And then finally you should do something for others. I think there are two big enemies in our spiritual life. One is Seichtheit or shallowness. You know what that is? It's just you are just shallow. And that is a big enemy because it looks all right. You can always dress and pretend to be the right person, but you're just shallow. And the other is the big enemy is this inattention, that we are just not focused. We are not mindful of what we do. We are never in the present of what we do. It's a problem. So, but if you do this, wow, it works. Then the last one is selfishness. I see so much selfishness in myself. When I was a young devotee, how can I advance? How can I progress? How can I move on and on and on? And everything was tainted with this, I can see now. And I feel very sorry for it. But as I become older, I begin to understand, to see when I can act from a place of true compassion, even problematic relationships, I immediately cured. No, it's just this idea of compassion. Therefore, it is stated that of all the qualities which a Vaishnava in this world should develop, compassion is the most important. Most important. No, do something for others. Don't stay in your own little world and remain selfishly absorbed in spiritual life. It's a contradiction of terms, but somehow we are contradictory people. We manage to bring our own faults into spiritual life. It's not about I, me, and mine. That's the most important, unimportant person in the universe. For others, for you, he's the most important person. But do something for others. He said, try to liberate everyone. The word Tara means to deliver, to help someone from his, from rotating in circles and circles and circles and not being able to utilize the full benefit of their life. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. As the Indians would say, bus, finished. You are complete. This is your program. Chant, read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and do something for the benefit of others. My spiritual master has written about this program. He said, this is the sublime mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Many people come and inquire whether they have to give up family life to join the society, but that is not our mission. One can remain comfortably in his residence. We simply request everyone to chant the Maha Mantra, that he gives the entire mantra. And then he says, if one is a little literate, that means if you can read a little, not everyone can read. In the West, normally we can read, but in India, not everyone. If one is a little literate, one can read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That is so much the better. Instead of living totally engrossed
what a word, engrossed
in material activities, people throughout the world should take advantage of this movement and chant the Maha Mantra and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at home with their families. One should also refrain from sinful activities, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. And then people are already intoxicated by material enjoyment, and if they indulge in further intoxication, what chance is there for self-realization? And so on and so forth. He goes on. So the idea is break the intoxication, that means the absorption in material life by living a genuinely spiritual life. So that is the instruction of the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his advice to the Koma Brahmana. That is, one should stay at home, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and preach the instructions of Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Very doable program, huh? Very doable. You may think about details, but let us just now go back to the essentials, to the principles. Fill your heart with absorption in the Lord. No? This you do by chanting and getting to know more about, and do something for the benefit of others. Finished! Simple program. I think it is very important to understand these essential principles. Now I'm almost at the end. There was one other Brahmana not actually in that village. He lived nearby, and he didn't live in any village. You may know, in the old townships, those who were very ill, like they had pestilence or lepra, they lived not really in the town because of the problem of infection. This Vasudev is his name. He was a leper and who had a very advanced degree of this disease. That means his fingers were melting, and his nose were melting, his body was disfigured, and he had open wounds, and therefore he lived outside of the village. In the medieval time in Europe, we had also leper colonies, you know, away from the city, so that the drinking water was not affected and the disease wouldn't spread rapidly. But good people would take care by supplying food to these colonies. So Vasudev had heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he had felt a great desire to meet the Lord, because he was a great devotee of Krishna. It is said that he performed an unusual charity. He would sometimes be so moved by thinking of the Lord in his heart that he could not remain sitting. He went up and he started to dance, and at that time, from his open wounds, I'm sorry, but this is what happened, the worms who feasted on his own meat were falling down. Now, Vasudev, the leper, felt, by destiny I have become the food, or my body has become the food of these worms. What will they do without their natural supply of nourishment? So he picked the worms up again and put them back in his wound. He was clearly not identified with the body. I was thinking about this recently when someone offered me the ultimate jacket. I have a body which is not so well circulated, unless I really do an hour of exercise a day. So I appreciate very warm clothes. And he gave me the warmest and best jacket in Russia, and was very cold. But I found out when I looked at the label, 25% of the filling is from feathers and 75% of goose downs. And I requested one internet person who knows, you know, normal person, to Google what this means for the animals. And he found out these poor goose and ducks who have to give their feathers are just tortured mercilessly. When they're still alive, you know, each single feather is ripped out of them. And then this is done 5 times, and after 5 times the poor being cannot grow any more feathers, and then they are slaughtered mercilessly and used in the meat industry. Imagine we would take any one of you, let's take a very hairy person, and he would be taken out all the hairs. This is actually at every part of the body. This is nothing in comparison to the pain the poor animals feel, because the feathers have to stick much more to the body than the hairs. You don't need hairs to fly, you know. So they are not as firmly attached to the body as feathers. They're ripped out as a torture. And I said, how can I, although I like this jacket very much, it's really warm, but I have to renounce it. I just can't, you know, cannot be responsible for this. I cannot support this. And I gave it back. Because I had read about Vasudeva and how he was charitable even to the worms, not to speak of other life forms. I took this very much to heart. Now this Vasudeva had heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this extraordinary personality, had arrived at the house of the Koma Brahmana. He wanted to see him. So he traveled in the night, and no one could see him on the path, and he would not disturb anyone. He arrived early in the morning at the house of the Koma Brahmana. But as he asked, where is that saintly being? The answer was, he has already left. He leaves very early in the morning. And this Vasudeva was so desperate. It must have been so painful to bring his body somehow by crawling on the road to the house, that he just cried and he said, "My Lord, have you forgotten me? I suffer because of my own deeds, this terrible disease, but have you forgotten me?" Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone along already quite some way, but he heard that sincere appeal of Vasudeva. This is what Krishna always does. When you can call for him sincerely and not shallowly, he hears it. So Mahaprabhu chose to do one of his Mahaprabhu, I wanted to say Mahaprabhu, how do I say it properly? His miracles. And he appeared instantaneously in that moment where that leper, ill person had called for him before him. Here I am. Sakshat Darshan. Full Darshan. And Vasudeva could really not believe what was happening. Hari Seva looked up the text for me, and I want to say what he said. He was totally astonished, and he stretched his hand forward, his ill hand. I mean, it was the melting hand, the fingers were no longer there. Spontaneously, he didn't think, will I sully, the verschmieren, the feet of the Lord. He just, and he noticed the Lord stood, he did not go back. And he touched the Lord's lotus feet, and he quoted a verse from the Bhagavatam. He said, "Who am I? I'm sinful. I'm poor. And who is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Nonetheless, he has embraced me with his two arms." This verse was spoken by another very poor Brahmana. Such mercy is not possible for an ordinary living entity. Such mercy can be found only in you. Upon seeing me, even a sinful person goes away due to my bad bodily smell. Yet you have touched me. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "My dear Brahmana, I want to ask you something." He said, "I want to ask you to chant the Hare Krishna mantra incessantly." Again, the same instruction. Oh, I must say something happened. When the Brahmana came, I forgot this, the most important thing, and wanted to touch the feet of the Lord, the Lord stepped actually forward and embraced him. And when he embraced his body, remember, there were open wounds all over with wounds. The body transformed into a beautiful body which not even in your boldest dreams of physical exercise you can imagine to ever have. It was, but the Brahmana was not happy with this. He thought, "Now I will identify with the body." Maybe those of you who do exercise stand before the mirror and you know, see how is it going with me. That's in some ways more identification with the body has happened. Well, it's not, it's, you're not going, if you stay on that level, you can be happy that it works, but if you identify with the body, you are 2,000 light years away from yourself, you know. Maybe that's a little strong, and some of you will dislike me for saying this, but I'm speaking of material consciousness, I think. You know what that is. Have a healthy body. Use it in for your self-realization. That's the idea. Good. So then the Brahmana became worried. I might become more in illusion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Don't worry. You just follow these three instructions. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra and says always, liberate others by telling them about what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and what is there in the Bhagavatam. Help others and you will stay on the transcendental platform." Same instruction. Remember, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami had promised us. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to everyone and his son. To everyone. He gave these instructions. So I would very much request you to think about this. Also, my dear internet devotees, not devotees of the internet, those who look at the internet, I very much encourage you to really, to think about these internal principles, these deep principles, and apply them with attention. That's very important. Give it attention, and then you will be able to break to the through to the spiritual platform and be very happy. This is what I wanted to say. We will end our Gaura Lila evening here. Hare Krishna. And so those of you who are still here, so those of you who are still here, I have a very special guest today, not just today, but over a few, I think we see each other for the third time. He is a friend of Amarananda, an old friend, and Amarananda had told me about him, that this was a person he respected very much, because from a he was a very, very, very rich banker and successful banker in London. And one day something happened to him. I will not tell you now what it was, where he thought, I do not live the life which I feel is meant for me. I do not really know what is the real life I should live, but I'm very sure it is not this. And then he left his comfort zone and went on a he decided to do what he likes most, to drive on a bicycle, and made adventure trips, which are well documented in one of his books, and discovered on his journeys through the world causes where some help could be given. Like he supported many schools in schools in Madagascar. Now, and maybe tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, he will go to Central Africa, where one of the biggest human catastrophes takes place, and it's not documented in the world. And he documents it in writing, in films. He has film teams with him, and raises public awareness, and is working on creating a better world, transforming it. And so I think this is something which we can look, which we can learn from. And I've invited him to address all of us on the subject of transformation, which was the subject of this Gaura Lila evening. I wanted to introduce Gauranga Mahaprabhu's program of transformation to all of you. So I will request Reza to maybe stand here where everyone can see you.
Yes.
We need the screen. So Reza will. We will go in the other room, not here. Huh? In the other room. Okay. So thank you all very much. And Hare Krishna. See you.